which the Gemara talks about currently, and some of which the Gemara talks about later on. Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag Shechol Yos B'Shabbos Kol Amalichem Eskulavein Beis HaKnesses L'Macharas Mashkimim Oboim Kol Echad V'Yechad Makir Et Shelo V'Notam Nei Shamru Chachamim Ein Adam Yotzei Dechavaso B'Yom Tov Rishon B'Lavo Shel Chaveiro U'Bishar Yomos HaChag Adam Yotzei Dechavaso. So the Mishnah over here is going to talk a little about the din of Lachem, Lakachtem Lachem. However, the Gemara over here is not going to talk about the issue of Yom Tov Shel Chag Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. The Gemara over here takes for granted that since we have a mitzvah midorais of Tilas Luluf on the first day, that would apply even on Shabbos. That's why we have the whole Eitzah of how to accomplish it. However, the Gemara in the next Perek is going to shoot this down with the Gzeira of Rava, Shema Yetaltel Arba Amos Birshus Harabim, that Chazal had the power of being Oker Davar Benatara B'Shev Yaltaseb. We're not going to get involved in that currently. And then the Gemara, the Mishnah concludes, Rav Yossi Omer, Yom Tov Rishon Shechag Shechol Yos B'Shabbos V'Shachach V'Hotzi Esalulov Birshus Harabim Patur Mipnei Shehotzio Birshus, that we have a din of Tov in Var Mitzvah that we're not going to get to today, but the Gemara over here discusses it. Okay. So let's deal with what the Gemara does discuss on the Reisha of the Mishnah. Menoha Neimile, that everyone requires his own lulav. The Tana Rabbanu lakachtem shetehe lakicha biyad kol echad ve'echad. Namely, that Gemara is doresh from the fact that we have over here plural ulakachtem. Tosus points out midloksi v'lakachta lashon yachid, that everyone has to be nota lulav on his own. And by sukkah, even though it says chagasukos ta'aselecha, but we have another drasha in terms of kol ha'ezrach, that everyone requires his own. We have, as I pointed out in the page Mar Makamos, a parallel gemara in Menachos, Tana Rabbanan usfartem lachem shetei sfira l'kol echad ve'echad. But that over here sort of just heightens the issue. That in the world of Sfira, Tosus over there points out, Gabi Yovel Ksiv V'Safar Talacha Abezdin Ko'amar, T'kamal Rachmana. Namely, in Sfira, we at least have a Hava Mina, that maybe we would have thought that Sfiras Ha'omer would be a mitzvah Abezdin, like Sfiras Yovel is a mitzvah Abezdin. Komash malanu svartem lachem, that it's a sphere l'kol echad ve'echad. But what kind of havamina would we have had in the world of lulav? Why in the world would we have thought, without exeris hakasuv, that somehow lulav would not be a mitzvah for every individual? With such a havamina by tefillin, such a havamina by tzitzis, by birkas hamazon, that these aren't chiyuvim on every individual? Why, in other words, where does the Gemara, what's the requirement over here of a drasha? Who is bothered by that question? The Meiri, right? So the Meiri points out we do have a set of mitzvos in which we have one individual, l'chatchila, being motzi, a whole group. But those are mitzvos of kriya and shmiya. We have a din that, you know, where it's a concept of lishmoa kol shofar, lishmoa megillah. In other words, that over there, one reads and everyone else will seem to be involved in listening, but that doesn't apply to the world of mitzvahs ma'asiyos. And so over here, l'chora, lulav, is a mitzvah ma'asid. So how does the Meiri solve this problem? What's the havamina by us that we would think that lulav would be somehow a communal mitzvah, that we'd be all yotzei with the netilas lulav of the other? Excuse me?
Basically,
in other words, that going to the Tamei HaMitzvah, he pointed out that the whole concept of the Na'anuim of the Lulav is to create a Ritzui, to bring about a situation where Kosh Baruch will bring us a Shefa of good weather and rain, v'chulei v'chulei, so we would have a Hava Mina, just like Sfiras Yovel is a din on the Bezdin, maybe over here this din of Ritzui is a din of the Bezdin. So that you know, simply that the comparison to the world of the Sfartem not only raises the question, but also provides the answer, that there is room for at least a Havamina that the world of Netilas Lulav would be similar to the world of Sviras Yovel. Kamash Malan, that it's a classic mitzvah on the guf, a classic mitzvah on the individual, similar to tefillin, similar to tzitzis, that we don't say that one individual could be motzi the other individual. There's a very nice story about the Chafetz Chaim. When the Chafetz Chaim was older, a yeshiva bachur came to Radin, and the Chafetz Chaim, as Rosh Yeshiva in Radin, told him that since there was no room at that point by other individuals to host this boy, that he could be hosted in the house. And the Chafetz Chaim went to prepare the bed, to prepare the sheets, the quilt, whatever the boy needed. And the boy said, "Now, please, you know, there's no need for you to do it. I'll do it for you. I'll take care of it." So the next morning, when the boy came down, the Chafetz Chaim says, "Don't worry, there's no need for you to put on tefillin. I put tefillin on for you." In other words, pointing out that the mitzvah hachnasas orchim achora is the same mitzvah shebegufo as tefillin. It's a mitzvah of maisa. You can't be mekayim hachnasas orchim via someone else. Okay, so that's simply the first line of the Gemara. Then the Gemara continues, Lachem mishelachem, lahotzi es hasha'ul ve'es hagozul mikanam rachachamim, ein adam yotze yidei chavaso biyom tov rishon, shel chag b'lulavo shel chavero, even if he has rishus. Now, then we're dealing with a classic case of she'ela. Ela imke nosnolo b'matana. That would require over here a world of ba'alut. But here we could have a question as to how far this din of ba'alut goes. That l'chora, we know that a classic brisker chakira is distinguishing between a cheftza and a gavra. So the question is, where exactly is the requirement of ba'alut? Is it in the cheftza of the esrog, or is it in the gavra of the lokeach? My nafkamina, what would be the status of an esrog of shutfim? That in the cheftza of the esrog, I have a total ba'alut. Each shutaf owns every square inch or every gram of that esrog. Masha Einkein, in the Maisa Lakicha, requires a certain exclusivity, and over there, the moment I have a shutaf, I'm not the exclusive bailer. Let me just give you an example. Let's take from the world of tzitzis. In the world of tzitzis, the Torah speaks about the fact that tzitzis have to be on ksutcha. What if you own a garment, a four-cornered garment? Let's start. If four-cornered garment is you're borrowing from someone else, does it require tzitzis? Do you have to put tzitzis on it? If you have a talus she'ula, do you have to put tzitzis on the talus she'ula? I'm not talking about if it already has tzitzis, do you make a bracha? That's a different inyan. I'm saying is that the chiyuv of tzitzis is al ksutcha. This is a ksut of a chaver. Is one chayav to put tzitzis on the ksut of a chaver, or can one wear the ksut of a chaver without tzitzis? No, it's a sifin shulchan aruch. What? Hashoel talus mechavero talus shena metzuyetzes pater milahatil but tzitzis kol lamed yom tiksiv ksutcha velo shel acherim. After lamed yom you chayav midraban and kasev marisayin, but meikar hadin it's not your talus. Namely, that you know we have a din over here of bailus. But what if you have a talus of shutfim? You and another Jew own a talus, and now you put on the talus that you are a partner in. Does it require tzitzis? Yes. That does. That's again talus shel shutfim chayevus. Namely, that the din of ownership is in the cheftza. You know, and over here a talus shel shutfim, I have full ownership in the cheftza. Nachon, my maisa levisha is not exclusively mine, but who cares? As long as I have a part in the cheftza. Or another halacha. If I live in someone else's house temporarily, do I have to put a mezuzah? No. What if the house of Shutfim, I own it together with Binayahu? Yeah. Then of course, right, that's again, din in Shulchan Aruch. Eilu mekom ha-shechevim mezuzah, echad sharei batim, sharei chatzeros, medinos, ayaros, refes bakar, lulin, otros yayin, v'shemen, Beis Ha'isha, u Beis Ha'shutfim, kulam chayavim. I'm a shutef. I have to be namely in the world of mezuzah. It speaks about beisecha, and yet beisecha, we say it's enough if you have a shutfus. It doesn't have to be exclusively yours. That's the din in terms of mezuzah. That's the din in terms of tzitzis. What about in terms of esrog? What about in terms of esrog? In other words, what's the status of an esrog of shutfim? What does Tosa say? That's Tosas black and white. It says Ubesrog Shutfim Name Lo Nothik. In other words, namely that as opposed to the world of Ksutcha or Beisecha, where the Torah stresses that the Cheftza of the Ksut or the Cheftza of the Bayis has to belong to you, and there Shutfus is enough. Here what does the Torah say? Ulakachtem Lochem. In other words, that we're dealing with the Maisa. We're dealing over here with the Maisa. When we're dealing with the Maisa of the Gavra, then it has to be exclusively yours. That we require a full lachem on the side of the Lakicha. And so over here, the fact that there's Shutvus, that already is a Ptur. Okay, so it has to be exclusively yours, belongs to a Shutaf, no good. Matan Masa Hachzir, we'll see, works. What about a Kinyan Lizman? What if I give someone on Sukkot my esrog for the next half hour? Kinyan Lizman. Is that considered, in terms of the Lokeach, to be Bailus? How to relate to the world of Kinyanim Lizman? So here we have a Rambam that appears to be quite open and shut. Hamocher guf hakarka Lizman kotzuv, says the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira, Hare zo Mechira, Umishtamish halokeach beguf kechefzo ochel peros kolzman amachira ulebasof tachzor lebaylem. The Rambam says that it's a full bailus, and then he explains next halacha how far this goes. Uma hefresh yesh ben hamocher karka lezman kotzuf uben hamakna osa leperoseha. Sof kol sof, it's going to be returned. So my nafgamina, if I give a person a matan lezman or a machira lezman, or I say that he can be nehene from it for a particular period of time. Shakone leperos, eno yochol goshanos tzura sakarka, lo yivne velo yaharos. He could be nehene, but he can't do anything to the guf hakarka. It's not his. He only has the rights to the peros. He only has the right to the extra, it's to that which comes out of the field, not to the field itself. Avo hakone lezman kotzuv, who bone v'hores v'ose b'chol mano hakatzuv k'moshe ose hakone kinyan olam la'olam. That we have over here a mini kinyan, but the mini kinyan doesn't take anything away from the quality of his ownership. He's a total owner. He can, he can dig an oil well. If he has it for a month, he could dig an oil well for a month, and then return the field. Right, with a hole, a big, big hole in the field. He owned it totally for that month. Where in the world did the Rambam come up with this svara? What would the Rambam compare this to? Do we have in the world of halacha a classic kinyan lizman where we say that when you buy it, even lizman, that it's totally yours until you return it?
And any machira of karka in Eretz Yisrael is like mutar exceptional.
In the time of the Yovel. In the time of the Yovel, when the Yovel was Noheg, so all Karka returned to its owner in the Yovel year. But until that time, whoever bought Karka, it was totally his. You can buy Karka in which is a wheat field, and you can go ahead and build Simmerim on it. Just at the end of the, and when Yovel comes, you have to give it back. In other words, but you could have done with it what you wanted. If you feel you're going to make more money with tourists than with selling wheat, so that's your cheshbon. That's something that that's your prerogative. So the Rambam says, my nafgamina between the world of Yovel and nowadays. In other words, it's basically a kinyan lizman. The Ravid over here waffles. He's not so certain that is the situation. Amar Avraham, Eini motze mocher lizman kotzuv sheyivne v'yaharos. If I look in Shas for examples of a kinyan lizman, and I want to back up the Rambam's theory that I can do anything that I want, even build and even destroy, I only find it in two situations. One is nochasai lecha v'acharecha liploni, that if I don't ask that it should return to me, but rather I say, you take it, and if you know, for, let's say for a month, and then it goes to another party after you. So then we say that what are you giving the second party? Only that which the first party left. V'davar ze'ena miyushav alai b'mecher. In other words, that makes sense in terms of matana. I say something belongs to you, and then it'll go to someone else. To sell it to you, and then and then it'll be sold to a second party without the second party being aware of what's going on. Im amar nachasay mechur nacha b'meya dinar v'acharechu l'aponi b'esrin dinarim shenomar b'zeim l'sheni el amasha shiya rishon v'yafsid ha'sheni masha nosam lo b'damim. It's very strange. The Sheni paid for it already. He paid for it looking at it currently. How can you go ahead and do whatever you want with it? Maybe you're going to take it down below the price that the second person paid for it. So it would only be l'chora in a case of matana. Okay, so the second fellow, he's getting used goods. He's getting it after the first fellow, whatever the first fellow leaves, whatever state it is. That's what he's getting as a gift. But in payment, it's much harder to say. And Rambam over here is talking about the world of Mechira. Od, or another possibility, Efshar Mocher Sadeh V'Shishim Shana, or Chamishim Shana, or Arboim Shana, Yasebo Kol Tzorko Kol Yemei Amecher, Hu Kemocher Bizman Hayov. If we're talking about a long-term deal, right, 40, 50, 60 years, then we say, you know, do with it what you want, because by the end of that time, already it's a whole different world. But if you're giving something to someone, be it a gift or be it a mecher, for 30 days or for a year or two, ma pitom that the first person should have the right to do with it whatever he wants. Namely, what's the difference over here between the Rambam and the Ravid? What is the Rambam over here? What would be the Nekudas HaMachlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid? That the Ravid says that we have to take into account factor X, factor Y, while the Rambam doesn't take any of these factors into account. Length of time, whether it's a mecha or a matana. Everyone has the model of Yovel, but what question is, what is the model of Yovel? According to the Rambam, how do we view the model of Yovel? And according to the Ravid, how do we view the model of Yovel?
The Rambam's taking it precise.
The Rambam's taking it as an Ikaron, as a principle. We learn from here on principle that it's irrelevant what is the time of a Mechira. Mechira is Mechira. When something is given, it's given totally. It's irrelevant if it's given for a day, a month, a year, 10 years, 20 years. For that, in that period of time, it's totally yours. If you want only to lend it to someone, you'll lend it to him. But if you give it to him, then it's his to do with it what he wants. Mashenkin, how does the Ravid view the model of Yovel?
It's like it gives us certain guidelines or parameters, but it's not...
Parameters of what? Why would we distinguish between 50 years or 40 years and a month? What are we taking into account over here, aside from the conceptual concept of a Mechira? What are we taking into account in order to have a sale? Is it enough that you know, words, we have money and we have something which is being given quid pro quo for the money? What's the core of the world of matana and mechira? What basically transfers an object from me to you, leaving aside the technical details? What stands over here at the core of any transaction?
Das
makna. Right? A katan can't go ahead and, you know, where it's a little kid named John Rockefeller IV, in other words, he may own it's $1 billion of real estate, but there's nothing he can do with it. He doesn't have das. He can't transfer it even to his best friend, even to his babysitter. He can't go ahead and transfer it. You need das. And so the Ravid says we have to take into account the omdan das. What over here can we assume that people have in mind? So when people sell things long-term, or when we're dealing with gifts, it's one to the other, so we can say that the person has in mind to give it over totally, and whatever will be left will be left. You know, it's après moi, again, le deluge. And it was after Louis the 14th. I don't know. After me, there could become a flood. I don't care what happens after me. I'm in this for the long run, and whatever happens after me, I just don't care. When we're dealing with something which is short term, so people expect that even if it's a mechira l'sman, it'll be returned to them in a manner in which it was given. In which that in achinami, we have over here the legal fittings of a sale or a gift, but we have to take into account also what was the das of the nosein when he did it for a period of time. Yes.
But in Yovel,
so that's, everyone knows that in Yovel, this is the Torah itself says that a year or two before the Yovel, no one goes ahead and buys land, right? Because it's basically not worth the same as the Torah speaks about, you know, before Shemitah, not lending money. You know, I'll lend you money if you have 7 years to pay me back, but if Shemitah is coming in Rosh Hashanah time and you come to me in Chodesh Tammuz, you want a loan. And I know that in 2 months this loan is going to be forgiven. I'm not going to give the money, and that's why Hillel had to institute the Prusbel to keep, you know, keep the world of credit open, you know, 24/7 or whatever, 24/6. In other words, about 365 times 7. In other words, that the assumption is that when we get close to the Yovel, we don't have such transactions. Okay, so in terms of whether an esrog could be given for a half hour, where that would be a meaningful kinyan that would allow the makabel to be yotze, according to the Rambam, certainly. According to the Ravid, not so pashut. We'll see later on that the Ksos raises this issue a second time. But simply from the Rishonim, we have a machlokas within the Rishonim. But again, the Gemara doesn't deal with kinyan lisman. The Gemara uses the concept of matana amenas lahachzir. And here, all the Rishonim raise the same issue in terms of what's missing in the Gemara. Right? I say to you, this: I'm giving you this esrog b'matana gemura, right? If you return it to me. If you don't return it to me, then it's not yours. But if you return it to me, then it's now yours b'matana gemura. What's missing in the Gemara? What's missing in the Gemara that we would expect to see in the context of Matana Amanas Lahachzir? What do all the you know, which I sent you to Tosfos, sent you to the Rambam, sent you to the Ravid, Tosfos by us, Tosfos in Kedushin. What's missing in our sugya? Tanai Kofel, the Mishpatei HaTanayim. Namely, that not every Tanai gets off the ground. Here, I'm giving this to you on condition that you return it to me. So, we have to have a certain legal set of a contract that if you return it to me, then it's yours. And if you don't return it to me, then it wasn't yours. And it has to be hein kodem lalav. And it has to be tanai kodem lemaisa. Namely, there's a whole framework. In other words, not just simply say, it's yours if. I have to say, if you return it to me, then it's yours. In other words, it's all missing in our Gemara. Nothing of that is said. It simply says, Shma mina, matana manas lahachzir, shma matana. And so here we have very, very different perspectives of the Rishonim, how to understand our Gemara. We'll come to our Tosfos last. Okay? We'll start with the Tosfos in Kedushin. Kedushin, in other words, points out, lo hichziro, lo yatza, that if I take an esrog matam anas lahachzir and I don't return it, so then lemafreya I wasn't yotze. So Gemara asks, why not? V'im tomar amai lo yotze halo havei tanai kafuol. This isn't considered to be a tanai which is binding. Hareza shelcha im tachzir enoli. In other words, it's missing the tanai kodem lemasa. It's missing the back and the forth. Right? If you do and if you don't. And at the moment that we're missing Mishpatei HaTanayim, then the Tanai is batel. The Tanai doesn't have halachic teeth. So if the Tanai doesn't have halachic teeth, what does have halachic teeth? The Maisa. Hareza Shalcha. I'm giving it to you. The fact that you didn't return it to me, but that was a Tanai that was formulated in the wrong manner. And so why isn't the person Yotzei? So Tosas, to answer this question, builds a skyscraper. He builds a whole building of worlds of transactions and points out that there are two types of transactions. There's a normal transaction, a give and a take between two parties that requires a tnai kaful, that requires mishpatei hatnaim. If you want to make any conditions, then the conditions have to be in a legal manner. But there's also another set of transactions which do not require a tnai kaful. And he doesn't give you the rule, but he gives examples, and then we have to come up with the rule. Okay, so let's see the examples of Tosfos. V'yesh lomar de'ika tnai delo bo'i tnai kaful, that there are exceptions to the rule. Kagon hacha, where it's one exception, is the world of Esrog. Haya b'dayto shi'yivarech chavero Esrog shelo. In other words, that clearly, in other words, I wanted to help my friend. I wanted him to be able to be yotze the mitzvah. The only way he could be yotze the mitzvah is if I make it totally his, correct? But I don't plan to give it to him. This is my esrog. In other words, when I'm giving him totally his, it's clear that I want it back. Or gedola mizos amru bahu gavra dezav and nichse adaita lemesak laara di Yisrael. Velo piresh velo midi ulebesof lo solik boi lemehadar. That if we have an individual who has this sale, he's going on aliyah, so he has this big garage sale, right? That he's selling everything that he has because he's going on aliyah. But it doesn't say going on aliyah sale. It simply says, you know, it's garage sale. And then he changes his mind, decided not to go on aliyah, and he goes to everyone and says, "I want it back." If he didn't build into his sign garage sale going to Eretz Yisrael, he just wrote garage sale. He can't ask for it back, even though his whole intent was to sell it temporarily. If he would simply write going away sale, that would be enough. Even though he doesn't say, if I go away, then I want the sale to be valid. And if I don't go away, I don't want it to be valid, right? In other words, even without all of the mishpatei atnoyim, simply putting into the word going away sale, that's enough. What happened to tnai kaful? In that case, it's unnecessary. A third case, hachinami isa b'mishames gabe shchiv meira shamar shkeduma anish ishti muberes avol achshav sheina muberes nachasai leploni. Okay, so John Rockefeller the second, right? He had a son who went out to the Amazon and disappeared, just disappeared. And someone came and said, you know, had you had this son, I would understand that you would want to leave him your fortune. But since he's lost in the Amazon, so maybe will your fortune to Dartmouth University, will it to Columbia University? And so he says, you know, I you're right, I really would have liked to have given it to my son, but he's not around, so I will it to you. And then all of a sudden, which didn't happen, the son pops up. Okay, with an Indian headdress or whatever, the son pops up. He's back. So, you know, so John Rockefeller calls Dartmouth University and says, sorry. They said, what do you mean, sorry? We have a contract. In other words, so he says, in other words, I'm very, very sorry. My son came back. So we say, in such a situation, borrower, that the money goes to the son. Like why? There was no tnai kaful that if my son is lost, it'll go to you. And if it's not lost, I simply said, my money will go to you because my son is lost. I didn't make it tnai kaful, so why do I break the whole thing? So these are three examples that Akshav Shein, you know, where it's, that turns out, parallel situation. He said, my wife can't give birth, so I'll give you all my money. That turns out she's pregnant. So what over here is the common denominator between the world of Esrog and the world of the going away sale and the world of giving up my inheritance because I think I have no heir? What's the common denominator? Why in these three cases is there no need for tnai kaful? Well, if I sell you my Rambam and I want to make a condition, I'm selling you this Rambam because I have an extra one. But if I ask for it back within a month, so then you have to give it back to me. There I need it to tnai kaful in order to be able to keep it. What, when do you need a Tanai Kafel and when don't you need a Tanai Kafel? What over here would be the rule according to Tosfos?
It's obvious that if the other thing, like by Esro, obviously I need to be able to the mitzvah, so it's partial, you have to go back to me. By you, obviously if you're son with Syria, you have to go back to my dear son. Obviously without having a big sale, if you want to go back to Israel, you
will. It's what we call in halakhic terminology when there's an umdana demuchach, that we're dealing over here, we're dealing with an obvious assumption. An obvious assumption is that there is no da'as makne in all these three cases unless the conditions are met. That we're dealing over here where it's the equivalent in the world of a sale to the world of tos. Let's say, for example, you come into my store and you buy a couch and I send you two chairs that have the equivalent space as the couch. See, so that's mekach tos. You can't. I never bought two chairs. I bought a couch. We don't get involved in is it worth within a sixth of the price, etc. Is there onor or not onor? It's tos. And where there is no das makne, I never had in mind to buy chairs. I only had in mind to buy a couch. So I never had in mind that you would keep my esrog. I never had in mind this garage sale would ever have gone through if I wasn't going to go on Aliyah. I never had in mind that this inheritance would go through if I had an heir. So in those situations, there's no need for a Tanai Kafel. Where do you need a Tanai Kafel? Where basically there is Das Makne. Basically, I want to sell you my Rambam, but I have conditions. So then in order for those conditions to serve as a break on the sale, in order for those conditions to be a ma'akev, to hold back the sale, we require mishpatei hatnoim. It has to be worded in a manner in which it's clear that this condition is a necessary condition. It's something that under no circumstances would I be mevater on this condition. That's what mishpatei hatnoim are going to mean. But in a situation where we have an obvious presumption that there's no da'as unless the Tanai is going to go through, then there's no need for Tanai Kafel. That's Tosfos's line of reasoning. Let's look at the Ravid at his line of reasoning, and then we'll return to the Rambam. The Rambam deals with this issue in Hilchos Zechiya Umatana, as to when do you require Tanai Kafel or not. And in the course of saying his shita, he gives the understanding of his rebellion. The Rambam says, "V'kach horu." He writes, "V'rabosai horu." The last line of the Rambam in Hilchos Zechiyo Matana, "V'rabosai horu she'ein tzarach lichpol hatnai ulahaktim hein lulav." Where do we require the mishpatei hatnoim? Where do we require the exact formulation? Only begitin v'kedushin bilvad. Only in a case of get and marriage. Not in a case of choshen mishpat. Not in a case of a normal sale, transaction, v'chule. And the Rambam says, v'ein l'davar zeraya. Comes on the Rambam, Raven, and says, afal pi she'ein raya l'davar, zecha l'davar, v'tam godol yesh l'davar. In other words, that even though it's true that we have no black and white proof for the chiluk of the rabos of the Rambam, in Shas, but there's a tremendous svara. What svara is there to distinguish between transactions, monetary transactions, and marital status, marriage and divorce? Let's read the Raivin, and then you'll formulate it to me in your language, okay? Ech yitachein, deze mocher karka, o nosno, v'omer. Eini nosno, o mochro, ele imkein, ya'aseli, kach v'kach. I have a house. I'm selling you my house for X amount of money, but I say I only want the house to be sold to you if within 10 days you're also going to sell the neighboring house to my wife, and you're going to sell your boat to my brother-in-law, then that's our deal. And we say that this will go through, even though the person didn't do it, didn't follow through on all the conditions. That's crazy. In other words, it's obvious that is not the situation. Aval gitin v'kedushin omdon daitohu kevan shenosan daito legaresh olekadesh eino ela kemaflig bedvarim v'kiruv hadas v'richul kadas ain't nai moil bo lerachek olekarev ela imkain chisko bikfelo v'chol ha'inyonim shenispar shubo ki kulam chizuk hatnayhem ubin tavin. He says that it's very, very obvious the distinction between the world of monetary transactions, my house and my boat and my neighboring house, v'chulei v'chulei, that there we say there's no need for mishpatei atnayim. It's clear we have a deal. I said, if you sell this to this and this to this, then this transaction on this house goes. And if not, then no. But in Gitin v'kedushin, What are we going to say? That we're dealing over here with such important, crucial matters that even if I'm divorcing my wife, and I say, but I insist my divorce is only going to go through if she's going to transfer me $50,000. So we say that is only going to hold that, you know, that linkage if it's going to be a tenai kaful, hein kodem alav, etc., etc. Because how can you compare my marital status to the fact that I want the $50,000? Marital status, that's one's entire life. We're talking over here with something which is, I tell a woman that I'll be married to you, you know, with this ring. However, in other words, if it rains 2 days from now. In other words, so over here, this is called haflagas kvarim, namely, I'm tossing in shtuyot. I'm not really serious. But if I say, if it rains 2 days from now, then you're married. And if it doesn't rain, then you're not married. Namely, I create mishpatei atnayim. So even though I may be nuts, but that's what I want. So when we're dealing with a world where it's clear that the person wants to get married, it's clear he wants to divorce his wife, but he puts in all sorts of conditions, there you require mishpatei atnayim. But in the world of choshe mishpat, there's no need. What over here is the ta'am gadol of Rabosav of the Rambam and the Ravid? How would you compare this to what Tosfos said? Tosfos, if you recall, distinguished within the world of Choshen Mishpat whether we have an obvious lack of Da'as Makneh, Or we don't have the obvious act of Das Makne. That's what Tosis distinguished. What over here is the distinction of the Ravid and Rabosav of the Rambam? The same principle. It's the same principle, just a different application. Instead of distinguishing between two cases in Choshen Mishpat, one of which I'm selling you this because I'm going on Aliyah, and another one I'm selling you this if you do this, and if you do this, and if you do that. So we say that within Choshen Mishpat, says Tosfos, sometimes we have umdan and the muchach, sometimes we don't. What the Ravid and Rabosav of Rashi are saying is the same distinction can apply between the world of Evin HaEzer and the world of Choshen Mishpat. In the world of Evin HaEzer, clearly there's an umdan and the muchach that this person either wants to get married or wants to get divorced. The fact that he tosses is all sorts of conditions, those are pitchifkis unless they're going to be anchored in Tanai Kafu. Mashenken, in the world of Choshen Mishpat, it's obvious that things are linked. That's the whole nature of a transaction. In other words, that we have a tit for a tat, and my tat has conditions. And if you don't keep these conditions, then I never gave you permission in the first place to do it. Okay? So it's very, in other words, the principle is the same, the concept is the same, just a different application. Okay, now let's move to the third distinction, that of the Rambam himself. Let's go back to the Rambam. The Rambam says, Kfar be'arnu shekol tnoim sheish matanos ha-bemekach u'memkar tzarech sheyeh tnai kofu. What is, in other words, there are mishpatei ha-tnoim. One is that you have to go this way and that way, tnai kofu. And secondly, hein kodem l'lav. The positive has to precede the negative. U'tnai kodem l'ma'ase. The condition has to precede the act. V'yetnai she'efshar l'kayimo. It has to be that which is feasible. Without mishpatei ha-tanayim, it's simply verbosity. It's simply words. It doesn't have any halachic binding power. Anything which is not formulated properly, any tanay which is not formulated properly has no binding power. Now the Rambam says, V'kol ha-omer al-menas ka-omer me'achshav dami. That even though my Rebbeim learned differently, I'm going to distinguish between a world of me'achshav, when I want something to take place immediately, retroactively, or whether I want something to take place if and when the conditions are met. When I want it to take place in the future, if and when the conditions are met, that's when I require tanai kofu. But if I want it to take place l'mafreya, retroactively now, once when everything takes place, then there's no need for tanai kofu. And whenever the phrase almanat is used, it means me'achshav. But basically, I'm distinguishing between a me'achshav and lo'asid lovo. When I have a tanai of im, it's lo'asid lovo. When I have a tanai of almanas, it's me'achshav. Me'achshav does not require tanai kaful, and im requires tanai kaful. What over here would be the svara of the Rambam? So those who are intellectually lazy can give me one answer, and those who want to can give me another answer. What would be the intellectually lazy manner of dealing with this? I know.
I'm going to say the answer I was going to say originally.
Yes. No. I shouldn't. I'm sorry. It's very pejorative. I shouldn't ask it with prejudgments. No. There are a lot of achronim who say something. But within the context of our shir, I meant it would be intellectually lazy. What would be the intellectually lazy way of dealing with the Rambam in the context of our shir? Saying it's again. It's the same principle, just another application. Right? In other words, that really we're dealing with two different worlds. A world when we have basically da'as makne, or basically no da'as makne, and those situations that are conditional. Just that rather than distinguish between, in other words, two worlds of Choshen Mishpat, or rather than distinguish between Ibn Ezra and Choshen Mishpat, we'll distinguish between im and me'achshav. When I'm saying im, I really don't want it to go through until all the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed. And then I need mishpatei ha-tanoim. When I do dealing with me'achshav, then I basically am saying that I have, that it's obvious what my intent is, whether it takes place, it's obvious that I am linking, and there's no need for the I's to be dotted and the T's to be crossed. Just a different application. I just meant it. So once it meant lazy means you don't have to think of something new because it's already on the table. But if you want to think of something new that we haven't yet discussed, a new concept, a new idea, the Rambam has a different kibbuk. He's not distinguishing between umduna demuchach and non umduna demuchach. That's Tosfos, that's the Ravid, that's the Rabosov, that's the Tam Godel. Because then he wouldn't have rejected had he really known the same principle, he wouldn't have rejected his Rabosov so flippantly, right? Engladova Raya. It's a Svara. It's a nice Svara. But the Rambam Kanerez was working, climbing a different tree. What other way is there distinguishing between Im and Almanas? Between the future and the present. What difference does it make when the Maisa is going to be Chal? When the Maisa is going to take effect in the future or the present? We're saying again, if we're dealing with something to take place in the future, I require Mishpatei HaTanoim. when we're dealing with something which is going to take place currently, then there's no need for Mishpatei Atanoi.
If it's going to take place right now, then we'll, like he already implies the everything else he needs. Because if it wasn't going to be the way he wanted it, then he'd say, wait, this isn't what I wanted. But if it's in the future, it's going to require all these more concrete parameters, because we can't see from his actions in the moment what his intention is.
Okay, but I wouldn't use so much the word of intention, because then you go back to the world of Tolus and Umdana de Mucha. I mean, certainly everything's totally in intentions, but not so much in terms of his das, as much as what is the function of the condition? What is the function of the condition? When I say, I'm going to sell this to you if you run around the block 5 times. Or I say, I'm selling this to you now on condition that in the future you run around the block 5 times. What's the difference between those two formulations?
It's almost like an Ikar and a Tufa. One is like, the Tanai is crucial to the transaction. That's the
In the first case, when I say, I'm selling this to you in the future, when you run around 5 times, I am linking the fulfillment of the Maisa to the Tanai, that the Maisa will be fulfilled when the Tanai is done. Namely, that the Tanai is coming to create the conditions under which the Maisa is going to be valid. And so when a Tanai is coming to create conditions under which a Maisa will be valid, it requires Mishpatei HaTanayim. However, if we're saying, no, the Maisa is valid today, but if you don't fulfill the Tanai, it's going to be retroactively uprooted, so then there's no need for Mishpatei HaTanayim. Mishpatei HaTanayim are needed when the Tanai is that which is going to create. But if the Tanai is that which is going to, l'mafreya, undercut, then there's no need for Mishpatei HaTanayim. Is the Tanai a fulfillment, an act of kiyum, or is the Tanai working backwards, an act of bitul? So in any case, you can learn the Rambam in either direction. The second way is, basically I said what Benayo said, just said it a little differently. However, there is, of course, a fourth possibility, and that's Tosas Bayas. What does Tosas Bayas say?
You do need it. It's just lopped off the way the Gemara writes it. The Gemara's not just talking about it. It's not our...
In other words, we always require Mishpatei HaTanayim. You always require. Either Gemara doesn't mention it, okay. The Gemara, wasn't into. We're not. This is Maseches Sukkah. This isn't Maseches. Where it's Baba Basra, where we're dealing with the legalities. B'shum makom ein ledaktek mehashas b'lashano lahaktim tonight lemaisu tonight kafel hein kodem olav afagav to b'hochi mayri ela mekatzer lashano lefi shelo kol achidush ze b'lahashmienu. In other words, that this has nothing to do with Mishpatei HaTanayim. We're coming to say that you're Yotze the mitzvah of Esrog under these conditions. Clearly, the conditions are that which are formulated in Choshen Mishpat, in the Rambam, Hilchos Mechira, or Hilchos Matana. In other words, you shouldn't be in a dyke in language of the Gemara. Okay, so Tosas by us says you always, always, always create Mishpatei HaTanayim, which means you have to be very, very careful. Where it's on a day that, where it's where you want to be Mekayim, a mitzvah of Arba Minim Midaraisa, not to give it to someone, Stam Atanus HaHachzir, because it could very well be, he doesn't have to return it to you because he didn't formulate it properly. You have to have a very clear formulation in order for it to be, in order for the Matana to be really, really conditional upon the Tanai.
Well, if he returns it to you anyway, it's not going to...
So Baruch Hashem, you played Russian roulette and you won,
right.
But you could have lost.
It
depends who you give it to. If you give it to a Talmud Chacham, you have to worry that he's listening to every word you're saying.
He's also a good person. And probably will give you back his
No, maybe he wants to teach you a lesson. Okay. This Seder. Okay. Okay, now we have these two lines over here in Tosfos. Actually, it's in Naruto's about 5 lines, but they're very small, short lines. Where Tosfos relates to a Gemara in Gittin. Tosa says, "V'lo dami l'tnai u'ma'ase b'davar echad, d'hainu sh'shnehem sosrim ze et ze, ki ahi d'amanas sh'tachziri li'as ha'niyar b'perek misha achazo." Period. That's the end of that section in Tosfos. However, that section, as you saw, got the Avdim Biluim all riled up, and you know, it's until you had to ask me, do I really have to learn the entire Avdim Biluim? So you don't have to learn the entire Avdim Biluim. You could have seen it in the Gemara itself, but the question is what we have to see in the Gemara itself. So if you learn, turn over the page of Mar Makomos to the world of Gittin. In the world of Gittin, we have a braisa. Hareza gitech v'haniyar sheli eina migureshet. And clearly, you have to, in other words, in order to be migarish woman, it says, v'nosan lo sefer krisus, you have to give her a written document, and if you're not giving it to her, you're saying that it remains mine, then she's not migureshet. In fact, she's holding your paper, doesn't make her migureshet. She's only migureshet when the get becomes hers. Okay, so the reisha is quite clear. The reisha we have over here, I say that she's migureshet, you know, by giving her my cell phone. What does a cell phone have to do with gerushin? What does a paper which is mine and remains mine have to do with gerushin? It's only going to be a get if the paper becomes hers. So I basically shot myself in the leg by saying this phrase. And I pulled the rug out from underneath the gerushin by saying Haniyar Sheli. However, if I say Almanas Shetachziri Li Es Haniyar, that I am giving you this get on condition that afterwards you return to me the paper, Megureshet. Then she is Megureshet. And the Gemara asks, Maishna Resha Umaishna Seifa. Why? And to understand the question, Rashi explains that at this point in the Gemara assumes that what does Almanas mean? At what point is she going to be Megureshet?
Later.
When she returns to me the get, then she'll be Megureshet. And so if that's the case, isn't that the same as the Reisha? I say, I want this get to take place. I'm giving this get to the woman, and I want it to be Chal. I want it to be Chal when she returns to me the paper. When she returns to me the paper, then how can she be Megureshet? What difference does it make if I say that this is her get and the paper is mine, or this is her get upon her returning to me the paper? Isn't it the same? Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. So the Gemara goes through different permutations, and the Gemara ends up with two possibilities, one of Rav Adda bar Ahava and one of Rav Ashi. All right, so the Gemara says, Maskif Rav Adda bar Ahava, bum bum bum, that we have to compare the world of conditions to the world of Mehechan Gamrin Allah. Where do we learn the world of conditions from? Mitnai b'nei Gad u'b'nei Reuven. We learn it out from the Parsha that we're going to get to in a few weeks during the summer, in which b'nei Gad and b'nei Reuven in the beginning of Parshas Matos want to maintain their nachala on the east side of the Yarden, and Moshe Rabbeinu makes a condition. If you go across the Yarden and fight for 7 years and then remain there for another 7 years while there's going to be a chalukah, then I'm going to give you your nachal and be'ev on this side of the Yarden. But if you're not going to cross, then you're not going to get your nachal on this side of the Yarden. That's what we learn. Hain kodem l'lav, and tonight kodem l'masa, and tonight kafu, and all the conditions you learn out from there. So from there, what do we learn out? Says Rav Adar ba'ava, ma hasam tonight b'davar echad, Umase bidavar acher af kol. That the only time that you're going to have a valid condition is if the condition is apples and the maisa are oranges. That makes sense. Namely, that the condition is going across the Yarden and fighting, and the maisa is you're receiving your nachala, your inheritance from God on the east side of the Yarden, apples and oranges. Lafuke hacha. However, in the case where I say I want this to be your get when you return to me the paper, so here we have tnai v'maisa b'davar echad. The maisa is that the paper is yours. The tnai is when you return to me the paper. We're dealing both the tnai and the maisa deal with the paper. That's not called the tnai. Elo amar rav adabrava mishum t'tnai u'maisa b'davar echad. Namely, in this situation, why do we say she's Megureshet? Because the Tanai is technically invalid. TKO. We have a tnayu maisa b'davar echad. The tnay is technically invalid, and all we look at is hareze gitech. We don't look at al menashe tachshuli anir, because that's the maisa and the tnay b'davar echad, and that doesn't get off the ground. We're off on a technicality. That's the way Rav Ada bar Ahava understands. Rav Ashi understands it differently. Rav Ashi Amar, who does this brisa go according to? Hamani, Rebihi. Damarav hu namarav, kolo omer almanask, omer me'achshav dame. That Rav Ashi says that this brisa goes according to Rav Yehuda Hanossi, who says that the almanas means now. That this, you're being migreshit now, if you return to me the paper in the future. That's fine. She's Mugureshit now. He just wants that in the future this get will be returned to him. So that doesn't affect the Gerushin. That's why it's valid. Namely, we have over here a perfectly good Tanai. It's not Tanai. It's not, in other words, there's no concept of Tanai v'maisi v'davar echad. There's no such legal technicality that it has to be apples and oranges. We can even have apples and apples. As long as the Tanai is taking place in the future, and the Maisa is taking place now. And then there's no uprooting of the Maisa by what goes on in the future. That's the Machlokas between Rav Ashi and Rav Ada bar Ahava, how to learn. Namely, the Machlokas is, do we say that there is a principle called Tanai v'Maisa b'davar echad that invalidates the Tanai, or is there no such principle? But we're simply using our regular rules, and we have a difference between an Im and an Almanas. Now, manas means the gerushin is now, when you give me back the paper later on. That's a perfectly good get. Okay? That's what the Gemara says. Comes along Tosfos, and he reinterprets the Gemara. Tosfos says, V'lodami l'tnai v'maise b'davar echad. Don't think that by us in the world of Esrog, we have an issue from that Gemara, because by us, what is the maise? I'm giving you my Esrog. What is the Tanai? I want you to return it to me. No, this has nothing to do with that Gemara. Why? The Hainu kishesosrim shnehem ze etze ki ahid almanash tachziri anir beperek mishachazo. The whole din of Tanai v'maisa b'davar echad being invalid is only when we have an inner contradiction between the Tanai and the Maisa. But if there's no inner contradiction, namely you'll be yotze currently and you return it to me later on, there's no inner contradiction. There's no such rule. There's no such TKO. There's no such issue of Tanai v'maisa b'davar echad. That's not something which is learned out from Tanai b'nei Gad and b'nei Reuven. It's only when we have an inner contradiction. That's the way Tosus learns. Okay, in other words, Tosus answered a problem. In other words, he didn't want us to say that our Gemara also gets involved with TKOs. However, the Avni Miluim points out, A, most Rishonim don't learn like Tosfos. Most Rishonim learn the Gemara over there, as we mentioned it earlier. It's an issue of apples and oranges. It's not an issue of inner contradictions. It's an issue of apples and oranges. Why did most Rishonim learn against Tosfos? What's the problem within Tosfos of saying that the only time we have an issue of Tanai b'maisa b'davar echad is if you have an inner contradiction? So says the Avdi Miluim, somewhere in those 14 paragraphs, says the Avdi Miluim, I wasn't able to put my finger on two lines, but the Avdi Miluim implies, because then there should be no Machokas Amoroim. Why would you have a Machokas Amoroim when you have a Tanai and a Maisa that associate one another? Isn't that obvious that a Tanai and a Maisa that associate one another don't get off the ground? That's a Machokas Amoroim. There's someone that says that that's considered to be a valid Tanai, that doesn't invalidate the Tanai, the fact that we have an inner contradiction. We pointed out, the Rambam says, that you require a Tanai, Shirai Lekayim. A Tanai has to be something which is feasible. If it's unfeasible, that's not a Tanai. And if it's a Tarte de Sasra, that's not a Tanai. That's what the Avdei Miluim points out, the problem with Tosfos is. Namely, In other words, why would we have Rav Ada bar Ahava saying that a Tanai v'maisa b'davar echad is a technical knockout, and Rav Ashi saying, no, it's not a problem to have a Tanai v'maisa b'davar echad, but the solution to the question that we had over there in the Gemara is this difference between Almanas and Im. But a Tanai v'maisa b'davar echad, according to Tosfos, is an impossibility. How can you have Rav Ashi saying that an impossibility really is not a problem? So then we have the issue. In other words, the moment we disagree with Tosos, then we can ask the question, why over here don't we have an issue of Taiva Maisa B'davar Echad? And so what you have to answer is the way all the other Rishonim answer, that this whole Gemara is going according to Rav Ashi. They're really according to Rav Ada Bar Ahava to tell someone, here's my Esrog, and it's yours now. As long as you give back to me in the future, that doesn't work. It's a Taiva Maisa B'davar Echad. You know, it's something from B'nai Gun and B'nai Reuven, but it doesn't work. That our sugi is not like Rav Ada Bar Ahava. We don't pass like Rav Ada Bar Ahava, but we can have a machlokas. You can have a meaningful machlokas as to whether there is a technical requirement that Tanai and Maisa have to be apples and apples, or can they be apples and oranges? Tanai and Maisa have to be apples and oranges, or can they be apples and apples? That's a machlokas rishon. I'm all right. But to say that, no, that Tanai and Maisa makam echad means that you can't have an inner contradiction, why should you have a machlokas amorayim on that issue? Doesn't make sense. Okay, any case, that's what the Avnei Miwin pointed out. So within Tosfos, our sugya is kafta v'ferach, but the problem is, why would we have a machlokas between Rav Ashi and Rav Ada Bar Ahava? According to the other Rishonim that the Ksos quotes, the Rosh, etc., the Rosh, the Rambam, etc., you know, the machlokas is whether all Tanayim have to be apples and oranges, or whether you can also have Tanayim that are apples and apples. And then our Gemara would go only according to Rav Ashi, not according to Rav Ada Bar Ahava, which isn't the end of the world. We pass like Rav Ashi. Yeah?
Tosfos and Gittin also is mashma like that, isn't he, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says differently than what he does here.
I think Tosfos and Gittin says the same thing he says here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because at the end it sounds like...
Tosfos and Gittin really has two options, right? The first option is like here, and the other option is a little different. Yeah. Okay. Let's continue. You can still continue? Beside. Tosfos now raises a problem that we have a Mishnah which appears to contradict our sugya. Okay, first he raised the issue of Tanai Kafel. And he says, our Gemara is Lav Dafka. Then he raises Taneva Ma'aseh B'Davarach and says, that Gemara is Lav Dafka. Really, it means an inner contradiction. Here there's no inner contradiction. Then he raises an issue. We have a Mishnah in the Dorim. What does the Mishnah in the Dorim say? Fascinating case. Hamuder Hanoa Mechaveiro Ve'ein Lo Ma Yochal. In other words, that the two of us are in town, I have food, you have no food, but I made a neder that you can't get hanoah from me. So nos no la'acher l'shem matana, I'll give my food to our next door neighbor, and says it's yours, v'hala mutarba. And then, once it belongs to someone else, that third party who's starving, he can now eat it. Maise be'echad be'beis chorom. Beis Chorom is Beit Chorom, right? Not far from Yerushalayim, on the way to Modiin. Ma'aseh be'Beit Chorom haya aviv noder himenu hana'a. We have an individual who is upset with his father. And so he made a neder that his father is not going to be able to get any hana'a from anything that belongs to him. Okay? And then haya masi yisbeno. And now the son of the person who made the neder is getting married. And of course he wants the grandfather, his father, to attend the wedding. But his grandfather can't eat anything at the wedding. So what's going to invite his grandfather to the wedding? Grandfather can't eat. What bushos? So he told his friend, Chatzer usuda nesunim hinam lefanecha. Elo kadeshi yavo abba v'yocha imana besuda. I'm giving you, right, ploni yamoni, I'm giving you the wedding hall. I'm giving you all the food. It's all yours. And that way, my father can now come to the wedding because he's not eating from me. He's eating from you. And that way, I have a patent that my father could be at the wedding and he can eat. Amar, so Ploni Amoni says, Im Shalihem, if you're really giving it to me, Harihem Mukdashim Lashamayim, Amachdish Etakarish Baruch Hu. The wedding hall, all the food, it's all hektish. Amar Le Nasati Lacha Et Shalish Akhtish Lashamayim. What do you think? I gave it to you, you should be Machdish it? I gave it to you that my father should be able to eat. Amar Le Nasati Li Et Shalcha Lashitei Atav Avicha Okim Veshosin Esratzim Zelase V'yei Avon Toli Beroshi. What do you think I am? I'm a Shabbos Goy? You're giving it to me in order to get around your nether? You think that that's meaningful? You made a nether, your father shouldn't be nether from your Nechasim. And now I'm going to play this game. Ki'ilu, it's mine, and your father's going to eat, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to tell me, what are you doing over here? You don't believe in the world of the Dorim. You're playing games with my Torah. So what's the bottom line? Amru Chachamim, kol matana sheinei mikdisha, te mekudesh en matana. That a gift which is given, which is not really a gift, namely that the person can't do anything with it, He can't be makdish it. That's not called a gift. Okay, that's a pretty strong Mishnah. So let me ask you: when I give you my esrog, my time and asahachzir, and then you were to say I'm makdish the esrog, so I would yell at you, right? What do you makdish my esrog? I gave it to you to be yotzei the mitzvah. You're makdish it lashamayim. You can't do that. So I say I have a Mishnah. You know, if you want it to be mine, if I can't be makdish it, it's really not mine. So what's the whole Gemara talking about? How can we have a matan on a nasahachzir? Clearly, I never intend that the person should be able to be makdish it. That's Tosis's question. How many answers does Tosis have to his question? You learned the Tosis? You got to it? How many answers do they have to the question?
Two, three.
Three answers to the question. Excellent. Okay, what's the first answer to the question? The question is, right, v'im tamar.
The guy with
that. That really, I'm, you know, it's I, the owner of the first esrog, am really somech on Jews that they're menschlich, and they're not going to be makdishit. Because if he would be makdishit, the hekdesh would be chal. Because otherwise, how could he be yotze? Namely, the rule of the Mishnah and the Darim holds. If the person can't be makdishit, it's really not his, and he wouldn't be able to be yotze. So I'm trusting him that he's not going to be makdishit while it's his. If he wants to stab me in the back, he can be makdishit, but he can be sure, I'm never going to do this again. You know, I'm never going to do a favorite div like this again. You know, it's if he's going to stab me in the back and be makdish my esrog. But he really could be makdish. That's what it really means. Hareza matana gemura, it's a total gift. And the Mishnah in the Dharm says a matana is only a matana if the possibility of hekdesh applies. And so really he could be makdishit. That's Teretz number one, okay? It's a little frightening, and you better be sure you know the people that you want to give matana sahachzir. Right? Sometimes I go to the Kotel, you know, where it's on a biyotze during Chol HaMoed, Mitzvah Doraisa, so I see someone with a Ramina, and I said, could you give me a matana sahachzir? And he says, sure. You know, can you picture what his mind would be if I said, I'm makdishit? It's a makdishit l'shamayim. Yeah! Okay. In any case, but I could, according to the first Teretz. What's the second Teretz?
That by Nadarim, you're just doing it like as a shtick. It's not like a, it's not like really totally in hektish. It's just like you're giving it as a matana just to get around an issue.
That's it, right. A matana is a matana even if I can't be makdish it. But the Gemara over there, the Mishnah over there was just pointing out that a matana has to be a matana. Doesn't have to be, I can be makdish it, but there has to be some meaning. If the whole reason I'm giving you the whole wedding hall is just in order to make an end run around my neder, and you're not getting anything from this. Ploni Almoni is not getting anything, any benefit from this at all. In other words, it's only in order to be okay. My neder, that's what we call a harama. That's folishtik. That's a trick. We don't allow for tricks. Rabbana don't allow for tricks. But it doesn't really mean that I have to be able to be makdish it. In other words, clearly over here, I'm giving you this esrog, it should be yours, it should be also the mitzvah. I'm giving you it, you're getting something from it. In other words, you're gaining a mitzvah. In the case of in the Mishnah of Darim, when I give you the wedding hall and all the food, you're not getting anything. In other words, you're just helping me make an end run around my commitments. That's a harama. End run around commitments you can't do. But if I'm giving you something, that's enough. I don't have to give you everything. Right? That's the second teretz of Tosfos. Oh, the hasam nami lo behektesh toli atama matana. Gemucha ben adarim, etc. That a person can give a gift without the possibility of hektesh. But over there, hayesab ba'orma. In other words, that it was just trying to trick the world to create a halachic loophole for the world of Nadarim. You can't just create halachic loopholes without using as a fig leaf a fictional gift, a purely fictional gift. That's all. What's the third teretz of Tosfos?
But there's an additional answer by the Nadarim.
Right. In other words, that really we have to distinguish between two realms. The realm of Choshen Mishpat and the realm of Nadarim. That a gift which I cannot be makdish is a gift. It's a gift. That's the concept of matana masvahaksir. I can't be makdish a matana masvahaksir. That's a gift in the world of Choshen Mishpat. But in the world of Nadarim, the problem is that even if in the world of Choshen Mishpat, the wedding hall and all the food belong to Ploni Almoni, but still my father can't be Nehenah. In other words, that my father can't be nehene even in a roundabout manner from that which was originally mine. It's an inyan in terms of, it's a chumrah in the world of nedarim, that even though technically, legally, this wedding hall and all the food doesn't belong to me any longer, and therefore technically, legally, we would have thought that the neder doesn't apply any longer, kamash malan, the neder still applies. That would be machmir in the world of nedarim, that the father shouldn't even get indirect hana'ah from his son. This is indirect hana'ah from the son. That the son gave it to another party, that the father should get indirect hana'ah. That's the issue over there. It's a unique issue in the world of the Darim, but in the world of Choshe Mishpat, there's no necessary condition that it has to be to the degree that one can be makdish. Okay, those are the three answers that are offered here in Tosus. I think we'll stop over here. Where we're left with is the Rush. In other words, the Rush deals with two issues that we'll have to deal with. I'll just put them on the table currently. One, you gave me your esrog, matanam nasla hachsir. When I return it to you, do I have to return it to you with a kinyan? Or simply that you just, in other words, do I have to actually give it to you and you're going to make a hagbah on the esrog? Or is it enough if I simply, in other words, put it down on the table and automatically it belongs to you? Well, how does the amanas lahachsir work? The Rush understands in one direction and has a very powerful raya from a Gemara later on. The Ktzos understands clearly the opposite direction, reinterprets the Gemara later on. That's the first thing we'll talk about. Second thing is, what happens if the esrog is struck by lightning when it's in my hands? Right? So I'm in the hospital. Okay, but what about the esrog? It's now no longer around. Am I responsible to pay the owner for the esrog? When I borrow an esrog, I'm chayim ben onsim. What about when I have something matana nasa hachsir? Okay, so that's a machlokas within the Rush. So that we'll see. And then, b'li neder, if we can't... do you want shiur on Wednesday, or is it too much? Huh? Yeah? Okay, you're going. Right? Okay, I'm sorry. It's a Wayu Torah. If he puts it on Wayu, it's okay. Okay, it can be put on Wayu Torah. Okay, you have to work it out with Moshe Aaron. Tnai, Amanas, Iyim v'chulei. Okay, so we'll try and get to the Mishnah. And always getting to the Mishnah means we'll deal over here like sort of a nice sugya in terms of Hidra Mitzvah, Minaganshi Yerushalayim. And if we can, we'll also finish up the sugya of Tobid Var Mitzvah. It's a Shas sugya. A sugya in Shabbos, Psachim, like all over Shas, there are such inyanim of Tobid Var Mitzvah. The Rambam in Hilchos Shkagos. Okay, so we'll try and finish up to the Mishnah, and if we can, call a kavod. Wow, we almost finished the Torah. A little more. Okay, yeah.
To go back to the first answer to Tosos, I understood that meaning that you could that the new like I received the matana can give it like a temporal kedusha. That's not how. No.